BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
This is Monday's Scott Mills Daily. Early because we're on The Breakfast Show instead of Grimmy this week. We have Niall from One Direction on the phone talking about loads of stuff, including which one is most likely to go bald first. We connect one of our listeners to Deborah Meaden at home and they pitch their Dragon's Den idea on our new feature, Instant Dragon's Den. What Kylie Jenner got for her 18th, Ed Sheeran's latest romance rumour, and Real or No Real.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you sober, if you are. It's Monday, and this is Scott Mills. Thank you, Adele. Does it smell of pick and mix in here?
What do you mean?
Because I've got this... There's a new... Well, not a new brand, but they're a Spanish band of espadrille shoe.
Right.
And when you buy them, they smell of, like, candy. I think it's to ward off any whiffy feet smells. So I bought them a week ago, and they still smell to me like candy floss. It's really weird.
Okay, and so these are new Spanish shoes that you've got?
Yeah, they're Spanish shoes. They're just like canvas shoes, but they do... Come and smell.
I'm not... It's not the first thing I want to do this morning. Well, come and smell my shoes.
They also smell a bit like strawberry laces. I'm sure other people have this problem. Probably not many listening. So Grimmy's off for this week and next week. So we're on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Oh, I need coffee before we teachy this
coffee
morning.
Coffee in the morning.
I've bought in the Sports Direct mug from home.
Oh, it's a big one.
Yeah. Never-ending caffeine. You know, the massive mugs that you get when you spend over, what, 20 quid or something?
I'm up for that as well. In fact, let's get on the coffee. This is going to be a good 2 weeks, I feel.
Shall we one-shot it?
Let's one-shot it, Gangnam Style.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Who have we got so far this morning then? Charlotte. And also Josh, who's still in bed. Just Monday vibes, just can't be bothered at the moment. Needs to be up by 7. Dom at work in Dubai already this morning is listening to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Paul on the M6, who is travelling to the Edinburgh Festival. Ah, we're not going to be there this year, but I love the Edinburgh Festival, and it's like happening right now, like in full effect. Claire's been on, saying that she's having a fairly enjoyable morning already for a Monday. We played Calvin Harris before Walk the Moon. I was listening to Kel Spellman yesterday. You were listening to that as well, weren't
you? Yeah.
It's a new show, 4 till 7, on Sundays, and it's got the best bits of Radio 1 on it. And it had the Annie Mac chat with Calvin Harris in Ibiza, which you can catch up on, actually, if you missed it, on the iPlayer Radio app. All the Ibiza stuff is on there. And I'd not heard it, so it was quite good that I caught it again. And he was just saying that, I think it was 8 years ago, he moved from Dumfries to London, and he was like, right, I need to, you know, get myself together, get a studio, find some funding, and find some people to be on my records. And it all went horribly wrong, and he ended up working in M&S with no money. And then 8 years later, he is now being called by a fashion brand that rhymes with Warmani to be in the adverts. And he talks about that at quite some length as well. They rang him and they were like, hey, do you want to be in pants on our posters? And he was like, don't be ridiculous. And then thought about it for about 6 months and was like, actually, yes, I do. And then completely beasted it in the gym for about 6 to 8 months and then was camera ready. But he says that they did tweak them as well.
So I've not heard this yet. So is that how it works? He was approached before he got fit?
Yeah, I think he was pretty fit already, wasn't he? But then he was like, okay, give me some time because I ain't driving down like the M4 one day and seeing a massive picture of myself with man boobs.
But this gives us all hope then, because I didn't realise this is how it happens in some cases. I thought you had to be fit to already be on, to get onto the adverts. So if you're telling me that these companies can approach you before that happens and say, look, we think if you got fit, you could end up on the posters, then I'm... I'm very happy about this.
No, but he was already fit. He just wanted to tone up because obviously you get one shot at that kind of thing. You want to look your best, right?
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Just went to the gym every day.
But if you know you're going to get that much money from it, you will go to the gym every day, won't you?
Yeah, but also he was saying, which is quite interesting, when you get the pictures, he was like, yeah, my eye looks a bit weird in that one, so can you change my weird eye? And they're like, sure, change. They can do anything.
They can literally do anything.
I mean, they have to have something, Chris, they have to have something to work with in the first place.
That's a bit harsh, because you're pointing at me as if I would be an exception to that rule.
We're starting at square one here. Well, he wasn't square one. I mean, he was already doing it, but then he just made everything a bit tighter.
No, but what I'm saying is, and I urge any of those companies that might be listening now that are looking for a new pants model, look for the potential in me. And give me 6 months, and I could look like that.
Maximum lols already. It's only 6:46. Here's Sigma and Ella Henderson. Noise of my pen there that's rattling across the desk. I'll get it together in a minute. More coffee from the massive mug, please.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning to Nick and Nicole, who are driving back from Boardmasters in Cornwall to Suffolk, and they slept in the car last night.
Ew. It always seems like that's going to be okay if you ever try that, and then actually it ends up being well uncomfortable.
You know when you wake up and you're like, oh, I really need a wee, and I really need a coffee, and I've got about 4 hours to drive back. Lush. So hello, if you went to Boardmasters at the weekend. Coming up, I've got Naughty Boy and Sam Smith. What's Naughty Boy saying at the moment?
Oh, he's done his classic thing, a load of tweets this morning about someone, but obviously never names them.
Oh, right, cryptic.
Yeah, and very selective retweets as well. You know, he's always wanting to give a message, but without adding the person that he's blatantly talking about.
Yeah. And also, stop talking about that person now, maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of weeks.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I know I should stop caring about Naughty Boy and Zayn, but Zayn's just tweeted, with a smiley face. What does that mean?
I need to
stop obsessing about that.
I wish he'd just tweet directly. Do you know what I mean? I wish he'd just properly just say names and say what he thinks.
Just like, shut up! Or something like that.
Mm.
Well, he did do that once a few weeks ago.
True.
I shouldn't care, but I do. It's 7:10 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Grimmy's off this week, so it's Scott Mills. Happy 18th birthday, Kylie Jenner. She's 18. You'd think Tiger would have got her a cool present, right?
Is that the boyfriend?
Kind of on-off.
Right.
You know Tiger, off of music.
Yep.
He has got a cool present. But I think he's given it to someone else before.
Oh, what's happened?
You know, like, when you ever get... like a shower gel set, maybe, or something, like a bottle of something for Christmas or birthday. And then maybe after you've unwrapped it a few months later or a couple of weeks later, you think, oh God, it's someone else's birthday. What do? And you re-gift.
Standard,
you
yeah.
You just
of course.
Wrap it up again and give it to someone else.
You've done that to me so many times.
Definitely.
The presents I get are so random from you that you definitely have got them at some point. Probs free.
No,
and then gifted them to me.
I don't think I've... Okay, maybe I've re-gifted you once.
You definitely have.
Everyone's done it. Imagine re-gifting like that, but on a multi-million dollar scale with loads of money. Steve Holden's got that and everything else you might have missed over the weekend on an entertainment roundup at 7:40 this morning. Galantis Peanut Butter Jelly is the next song we're going to play. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Scott. Nice to see you sober.
Nice to see you sober for a change. Where are you at the moment?
For a change. I'm in London.
Okay, you from London?
No, I'm from Glasgow originally. I moved down here about 3 months ago. It's been pretty good so far.
Now, are you a fan of the Real or No Reels?
Yeah, I listen to the podcast and stuff like that, and it's really, really good.
See how well you do with this selection of facts for today's Real or No Reel, first thing on Monday morning.
Instagramming pictures of your food can make it taste better.
So is that before you eat it, then? You take a picture, put it on Instagram, obviously whack it through a few filters, gets the mind going.
I think the filters are the key here because, like, the filters really bring out the colour and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it can make it look more interesting, look more tasty.
But then you're not looking at the photo, you're looking at the food in front of you and eating it, aren't you?
You know how they say that, like, taste is linked to your sense of smell? Maybe it's also linked to your sense of vision.
So is that real or no real?
Despite what we've just been talking about, I think it's probably no real. It sounds a bit weird to me.
I think this is real. because it just gets... I'll tell you why, because you take a picture of it and you put it through some filters, it looks even nicer than it is. It's like those pictures in a kebab shop, right? Those pictures look well nicer than the food.
Or but, when you go on holiday.
But you see those pictures and you're like, yeah, that's good food. And then you eat it and it's sort of, by then you're expecting good things.
It's like the same as the pictures of the food in the menus abroad.
Yes.
Never looks like that. But you want it because it looks good.
On the laminated menus.
That's it. Adam's going no real, Chris is going real.
I'm going real.
That one is real.
Yes.
Aww.
A study found that going through rituals, for instance, taking a photo, increases your attachment and therefore enjoyment of your food. So take a picture of it before and Instagram it and then eat. Next.
James from the Vamps recently overslept an interview because he'd spent the previous night playing World of Warcraft.
This reminds me of the time when I completely missed the Robert Pattinson interview at the height of Twilight. So Grimmy went to do it instead for me.
What had you done the night before?
Just had, went out.
It wasn't a World of Warcraft night for
it,
you?
It wasn't, no. Maybe...
Have you ever played a computer game? I don't think you have you?
I don't care.
No, we've never done that together. That's something, that's another thing me and you have never done together. We should add it to the list.
Shall I come around and do a bit of FIFA with you, mate, shall I?
You've never experienced what it's like to be so tired at 5 o'clock in the morning, but still searching round on GTA, like just roaming the streets, or up all night playing FIFA.
No.
You've never experienced that.
Never once.
World of Warcraft is quite an intense game, though, so I don't know if that's the best game as like an introduction to gaming for Scott.
Yeah, but you never know. He might play it and then be one of those that gets proper obsessed with it. In fact, Mills might be one of those people that does a computer game, then becomes like a full addict, like gets himself a gaming chair and things like that.
You know, a gaming room.
Those people that make their own little dungeons to play in.
That would be me. So is this real or no real? James from the Vamps overslept for an interview because he's very tired from spending the whole night previously playing World of Warcraft.
Mills, you might be able to help me answer this. Has he got a girlfriend?
Don't think so.
No.
Not at the moment, as far as I know.
I'm going to go real then.
Adam?
Yeah, especially on the girlfriend piece. I think it sounds very plausible. Real.
That one is no real.
Oh.
Oh, lads. It is no real, but he is a huge fan of the game, as you'll see from his Twitter and Instagram. But he's a very professional pop star, so would never oversleep. And next,
Ed Sheeran, Five Sauce and Emma Watson have all been invited to join a new app from the people behind Tinder, exclusively for the rich and famous.
Oh, I like this.
Wow.
So, it's Tinder, but it's only for famouses. What a great idea.
Would you not run out of people to swipe after maybe only like a few dozen?
No, because I think you can have famouses from all over the world. They just have to be ones from here or America. You can have them from everywhere.
Because if you're famous and you're rich, then you can afford to travel and have a long-distance relationship.
I love this.
It does mean you'd have to set your radius quite wide on the app, though.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying, actually, mate. Is in that, however many famouses there are, there's not loads to get through. If you
there
really
is.
Are swiping away.
Across the world, there's hundreds and hundreds.
Is there definitely about enough single ones?
Yeah.
Are famous people generally single?
Loads
they never
of them
seem
are.
Short of options.
Well, they're not short of options, but a lot of them are single because they choose to be.
I read that Tinder had introduced verified profiles for celebrities, but I don't know whether any celebrities would ever go on actual Tinder.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
They are their own.
I think you find that they definitely do go on it, some of them.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard Grimmy say last Friday that Lily Allen is on Tinder. Obviously, she's got a bloke in that, but she is on Tinder for fun to meet new friends while she's on tour. So, is this exclusive rich and famous people only thing, this new app from Tinder, is it real?
I think it's a bit niche. I'm going to go no real.
I'm the same. There's just not enough celebrities to join that sort of thing.
Okay.
I think that would join it. I'm saying no real.
Okay.
That one is real.
But the app isn't for dating. It's supposed to be a networking tool.
Right. So only famous people can go on it just so that they can talk amongst themselves.
A little bit, yeah.
And who decides?
I potentially have a login for this.
You've been invited, have you? Did you ask to be let in?
Nope, you can't be asking.
So someone's approached you?
Yep, you can't be asking.
How do they approach you? Email?
It's something that I've been told that has happened, yes.
Okay.
It's just whether I decide to go on it or not.
Well, absolutely. Why wouldn't we? So there's like a group chat.
What do you mean we? It's me.
Yeah.
And there's not a group chat.
There's like a giant group chat going on there.
I think you can talk privately or group.
So explain then. So you have to swipe through and then you match with someone.
I haven't seen the app yet, Chris. I just know that I have been offered a login if I require it.
Oh, you don't want to be the first in the room, though, do you? someone else logs in. They're like, let's see what Famous is about.
Oh, just
and
got
there's you and Paul Dunan.
Paul Dunan will not be on it. I've heard some names that might be on it, and it's quite good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Tinder. So like, they've got some people on board, not just me and Dunan. Although the UK version will probably just be me and Dunan.
I think, here's the thing, I think you're building it up. I can't wait to see who's on.
Well, you'll never see it because you're not on.
Well, yeah, but you can tell us.
I'm not going to tell you.
You will tell us.
No, it's just, I'm not. That's breaking some kind of privacy.
Oh,
I think.
Get off it.
It is. It's an exclusive club and you're not in it.
Yet.
I'm never giving you my login.
No?
Nope.
All right.
At the end of that round of Real or No Real.
Oh, it's so low score in this one. I got 10 points, though. Adam got nothing.
Oh, Adam.
But really, no one's a winner.
It's really depressing.
Yeah, don't be so, too depressed. It's fine.
Mate.
All right, well, have a good Monday.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for playing. If you want to be on tomorrow, text us now on 81199. Thanks, Adam.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
If you could cut that song open, my name would be engraved in there somewhere.
So good, isn't it?
I love it. That's Galantis and Peanut Butter Jelly on BBC Radio 1. There's loads of people going, if there was ever a song that could sum up Mills, this is it.
It's true.
I know what you mean. It's just happy and bouncy and camp. However, before you declare that something is the greatest song of all time, maybe think again.
I do think technically it is one of the greatest pieces of music of all time.
Okay, right. I love it, yeah? But I love it now. Am I going to love it in 10 years? I don't know. Is it going to stand the test of time?
Yes.
And eventually be on Heart?
Yes.
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying is, I reckon at the time, even someone well old, Mozart, right, when he was bashing out his tunes.
No, it's not the same.
People were going, let's see if this stands the test of time. I think this is like that.
Right, so I'm going to be announcing that on Radio 2 or wherever I am in 10, 15 years.
I'm saying give it 100 years. People will look back and go, wow.
Yes.
That was music.
Galantis there with Peanut Butter Jelly. No, they're not. It's good.
I don't think you appreciate how good it is as an actual piece.
You also think that She-Wolf, Shakira, is one of the greatest musics of all time.
Yes, I do.
Not true. I mean, it's great, but it's not. Good morning, Georgie.
Morning, Scott.
What are you saying?
Yeah, my friend would love that Real or No Real, where if you post your food on Instagram or Facebook, you enjoy your meal a lot more.
Why will they enjoy it?
Because whenever he is out with his wife, he always stops her from she's not allowed to start her meal until he's taken a picture.
Oh, I've met people like this also. In fact, I've been told to back away from some pork before until they take a picture of it, and then you can dig in.
Right.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
Well, so every meal they go out for, he's like, hang on a second, I need to put this on Instagram untouched first.
Yeah, basically.
And then she can eat it.
Yeah, and he did it to me too when I visited them.
Well, so what happens? What does he say?
So the waiter just brings over the food and he's like, oh, let me take a picture.
Here's the thing as well. If you do take pictures of food, and lots of people do,
loads.
You never do anything with the pictures, do you? You're never going to print those pictures out and say, put them somewhere. So they are just living on your computer where you sync up your phone or something. It's completely pointless.
That's true. Actually, I've got a brilliant one of some strawberry pavlova, which I took about 2 weeks ago. Now, I'm never going to do anything with that, you're right. But at the time, it feels right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was looking through loads of pictures on my computer and it is ridiculous how many rubbish photos you'll find on there.
Or food.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Or just anything.
Thanks, Georgie.
Thanks, Scott.
Love you, bye.
Bye. The Scott
Mills Daily. So I want to know, what other questions are there for Niall today?
Well, apart from who do you think is going to go bald first?
Yeah.
I mean, that was an idea we had in the pub, but yeah. Why not ask it?
Yeah, defo.
I'm going to ask about being chased by the paparazzi, because I've seen a lot on his Twitter from people going, guys, stop chasing us. We're just trying to have some downtime in New York or wherever they are at the moment. So I'm going to ask about that. And also the pop star he hasn't met yet but really wants to. And also what he thinks he'll look like at 45 years of age.
So the important questions, Mills.
Yeah. Noel Horan on this show at 10 past 8 this morning. On the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, Steve Holden, he's got all of the goss.
Good morning.
Good morning, you're right.
Yeah, good, thank you. I came in this morning and the guys outside pounced and they were like, are Ed Sheeran and Nicole Scherzinger going out?
Who are the guys outside? Were those two ones that are always there?
Yeah, yeah, my Newsbeat colleagues, permanent fixtures.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant the people outside the building that are always
two
there.
Two security guards.
Can I have an autograph?
So those two, like, do you see in the tabloids over the weekend, apparently this is the new celebrity couple, unlikely celebrity couple.
Right.
And I was trying to work out the actual evidence, because it's all a little bit loose, isn't it? And
is it?
Yes. Well, the evidence is like an Instagram photo from 4 weeks ago where they're together.
Where are they? Do you know where they are?
I think they were backstage at his gig at Wembley.
Oh, right. That must mean they're together then.
Of course. And then lots of well-placed sources, obviously. Mm. Unnamed sources. And then apparently Nicole Scherzinger was at a gig in Hollywood and she dedicated this song to Ed. Oh, there we go.
This song.
Of course.
Okay. Also, I saw people, and the people are linked with Ed Sheeran every other day, but I saw that he'd taken her home to Suffolk.
Yeah, because he played Latitude at the other weekend and took her to the pub.
I mean, this is the biggest news since Nicole Scherzinger pretended to work in WASDA, remember?
Yeah.
On X Factor, Chicken
Jarmaine. What was his name?
Chicken Jarmaine.
Yeah. In Swindon.
Yeah.
In my head, Nicole Scherzinger is really tall and much bigger than Ed, but apparently Ed is like way bigger than Nicole. So
what?
She's actually tiny.
Oh, TV plays tricks, doesn't it?
I know, it does. I thought she was a giant, like a 6'5" giant. And apparently it's now 20-1 for them having the Christmas number one together.
Okay. Of course it is.
Brilliant. Hello to everyone who's heading back from Boardmasters in Cornwall this weekend.
There's a lot of broken
festival.
People, yeah.
I know. I've seen some pictures on Twitter as well. Headlined by Rudimental and Bastille. And Bastille had meant to headline last year, but then Hurricane Bertha meant that the whole festival was cancelled.
Blimmin' Bertha.
But Bastille honoured their promise and came back this year. Newsbeat Online, we've got loads of interviews with like Everything Everything and Lower Than Atlantis. And Lucy Rose, who is a rather lovely singer. If you're going to have a celebrity fan, it's pretty cool for it to be this one.
I woke up one morning, it's like Danny Dyer's tweeting me saying, loving Lucy Rose record. I never post anything about myself, but this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Seriously, we're in talks of him being in the next music video. Touch wood. How cool would that be? The problem is, the next single is quite lovely, so it's, I don't know how we'd play that, really. We'll have to wait and see.
Danny Dyer in a Lucy Rose music video, which I think it would be rather wonderful.
He'd be up for it. He's done a lot worse.
Totally. and you teased this earlier. Happy birthday to the 9th most followed person on Instagram, Kylie Jenner.
Yes.
18 today, the big 1-8. She's one of those people that stretches out a birthday. Do you know what I mean? It's not just one day.
She'll have
it for like a month.
It'll be a birthday month, yeah.
Completely. One of the pics she posted today, it actually looked like she was giving out presents to other people in goodie bags.
Hey, it's my birthday and I'm rich, so here you are, poor person.
There's like 4 stories of them on a trolley. She was spotted driving around in this giant red wagon, an epic vehicle. It looked like something that a postman would drive in if he was like Kylie Jenner.
What an amazing thought that is.
But massive red wheels, and she looks absolutely tiny. So apparently her boyfriend Tiger gave it to her for her birthday. Oh. Which is very kind.
It looks expensive.
Oh, I was looking online, second hand with 1,000 miles on the clock, that'll set you back £121,000.
I love that in between searching like the news for the hottest stars on the planet, you're an auto trader.
Well, I've got to do my research, you know. The second-hand bit is important because it's actually reported that it wasn't even new. It belonged to his ex-girlfriend and he just repainted it and gave it to Kylie.
Boom! That's amazing. Right, so it would be 121,000 with 1,000 miles on the clock.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen this, so it does look like the same one.
It does.
And well, basically apparently he's got a new girlfriend. He's like, can you just repaint this for me, please?
She'll never know.
He's re-gifted.
apparently, like, the number plates are the same. It's the same one. Oh. But now apparently she's probably cottoned on to this. So apparently it's now been repainted again.
Yes.
And it's a khaki colour, which makes it look like something that the Avengers would drive around.
So she spotted the number plate a bit. That was the actual ex's girlfriend. Can you repaint it again, please?
Completely.
Amazing. Good stuff. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Scott.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So, we are doing the Teen Awards again this year. And we're doing our Teen Heroes. So this is where we present three absolutely inspirational young people with a Teen Hero Award. And we do it on stage in the last few years at Wembley. So it's pretty epic for them. And today, nominations are now open for 2015's Teen Heroes. Last year, if you remember, Jack Marshall was awarded the special Stephen Sutton Teen Hero Award for all of the tireless fundraising that he did. Jack was born with quite a rare neurological disease, and his parents were told he might not walk or talk again. And he raised tens of thousands of pounds for a variety of charities. He completed numerous runs and did a few mountain climbs as well. So last year, Jack won a very special one-off award, which was the Stephen Sutton Teen Hero Award for all of his fundraising efforts. He was surprised at home by Grimmy, who later presented him on stage with that award. And it's fair to say Jack did do the longest speech in Teen Award history. But then if I was him, I would do the same.
Defo.
Because it's your moment to shine and to take some of that limelight for everything that you've done. So Grimmy caught up with Jack to find out what being a teen hero really meant and how he found the whole experience.
Hello, Jack Marshall.
Hello, Nick Grinshaw.
Good morning. How are you?
I am dying, thanks.
We had a good time last year. I think that when we were at the Teen Awards last year, that was my favourite bit, getting to give you your award.
Oh, well, it was such an amazing occasion, and all the teen heroes deserve to win a teen award.
Did you feel scared at all, Jack? Because you seemed quite confident. You're not a shy person, you Jacks. But I mean, when you get to Wembley and there's like 10,000 people there, did it ever feel scary, or did you feel quite at home on that stage?
Well, as you know, Nick, I am not shy.
Not shy at all.
Everybody knows that. So I don't think I was that scared. Maybe I did stutter a little, but you know, I felt confident.
Yeah, I like that you're not shy. I like that. And do you remember we took that selfie?
Yeah, we took that selfie.
Amazing. Me, you, and 10,000 of our fans.
Yeah.
And nominations for this year's Teen Heroes are now open. Why should people nominate someone that they know? Like, what did it mean to you last year to win?
It was everything to me. Even if you don't win, you still get recognised.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, because there's lots of teenagers out there that got such inspirational stories, so just send it in.
And what do you think, Jack, are like the best qualities of a hero? What do you think makes a hero?
What makes a hero? Gut.
Yeah.
Determination. Courage. You're ready to go that extra mile. You know, you got to talk the talk too.
Yeah. But Jack, it was lovely to talk to you. Great to hear from you again. Have a good day today, and thanks for getting in touch with us and talking to us about the Teen Heroes. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
It meant the absolute world to Jack to be nominated and to eventually win that Teen Hero Award. And just think about it. There might be someone that you're thinking about right now that could be up on that stage later this year at the Teen Awards. Even to be nominated is great. So if you know someone that's got, as Jack said, that kind of guts and determination or bravery, if you think you know somebody who deserves to be recognised with a Teen Hero Award, then you need to do it right now and let us know about it so we can let the world know. Head to the Radio 1 homepage, click the link to Teen Hero and fill in their details of that special person now. All the terms and conditions are on there as well.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Radio 1 is keeping a lot of people from sleep in the world this morning because we're about to speak to Niall from One Direction. That was Coldplay. It's 8:13 in the UK. So many very excited fans just to hear his little Irish voice. And all over the world, in places like Mexico and Australia and UAE and Philippines and New Zealand. Right, I think we're ready. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, Scotty.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, how's things?
I'm all right. You okay?
Yeah, chilling.
Hey,
yeah,
congratulations on your UK number one and also your most successful global single ever.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's pretty much a shock to us. Obviously, when we dropped the single, we didn't really realise that was the reaction it was going to get. But yeah, it's kind of worked out, hasn't it?
Why was it a shock?
I don't know. We knew we had a good song, but you don't realise. You never know what the reaction's going to be, because you might think it's good because you've lived with it for you know, 4 or 5 months, but you don't know what everyone else is going to think about it. So it's always a shock when something like that happens, and obviously it's the biggest one yet in terms of reaction. So, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, you didn't either, other guy.
That's not fair.
Number one in over 80 countries. I think it's fair to say that people like it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You didn't say it either.
I said that. After 5 years, though, that's got to feel brilliant.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, that's why, you know, we didn't really, as I said, you know, you bring out music and you never know what it's going to be like. So to do it 5 years down the line and you know, have your most successful single now is pretty good.
Yeah, it's got to feel good. Especially because I think you'll be the first to admit, Niall, that it's all been a little bit mad lately. There's like a new story every day.
Yeah, it's all kind of out of proportion, really, isn't it? We're all just kind of going, plodding along, and it's kind of, but papers and media and all that kind of building up stuff. But we're out doing shows, doing you know, music. It's all good.
And the tour looks like it's going really well.
Yeah, it's great. The shows over here are brilliant. You know, to be doing, I say it on stage every night, but to do stadiums, like, not a lot of artists get to do stadiums. And, you know, it shows again how good our fans are. You know, they prove it on a day-to-day basis how good they are, that we're one of very few that are doing stadiums. And to come to some of the biggest cities in the world and play in stadiums this size is just unbelievable, really.
I was thinking this earlier, because you play so many stadiums around the world, you're like, hello, Los Angeles, hello, Stockholm. You probably know how to say hello in loads of different languages?
A few, yeah. Sometimes, like, Italian, Spanish, ciao, hola, bonjour, all that stuff. And then the rest is pretty much English.
So you can just get away with, like, learning three hellos and that's it.
Yeah, but surely the 60,000 people in the crowd would know one word in English, and it's probably hello. So
that's
if you
true.
Say that, you can get away with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're fine. I know that you totally support and appreciate all of the love that the band still is getting, and I know you're so grateful for where you are, but to me it feels like, is it all getting on top of you a bit at the moment? I'm seeing a lot on Twitter with you asking to stop people chasing you in that.
First of all, it's because it's dangerous. You know, we've been chased, like, down the streets at, like, big, you know, on the motorways at, like, 70 miles an hour, and surely that's not safe.
Yeah.
So that's why I've kind of been saying that. Also, you know, we go to these cities, we don't get to see a lot of them, so it's nice to, you know, and I've got friends in places like that, so it's nice to try and get out and see a lot. And I never want to sound like I'm moaning, and it probably does sound like I am, because it's in characters on a tweet, so it probably does sound quite moany.
No, I don't think it's moany, it's just you're asking to, you know, like, to have a bit of downtime.
Yeah, it's good to get out and just, you know, have a bit of dinner, people I haven't seen in a while, and stuff like that. But, you know, it comes with the territory, I guess. But, you know, just throwing it out there just to see, you know, will it calm down.
Do you ever feel like you are in danger when they're chasing you like that?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, I don't think it's just us. I'm not just talking about us. I think it's, like, you know, everyone else on the motorway themselves. You know, they're hanging out windows and stuff like that. And, you know, 70 miles an hour, switching lanes. You know, listen, I'm not a road safety,
you're not a road safety, you know, but they're going fast.
You're going fast. it's quite scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. Is it worse in America, would you say?
No, I don't think it's anywhere in particular. Just, like, you know, because we land, you know, come in on the show day, and then, like, you know, they chase us from the airport to the gig. But, you know, we're only going to the gig. You know exactly where we're going.
Yeah, they know where you're going, don't they? With your life as it is at the moment, is this what you 5 years ago imagined that it would be like, being a massive pop star?
No, you never, you know, I don't think you'd no one expected it to be, as big as it was, and we always talk about it, which is a good thing. We didn't realise, we thought, we'd do, as we said before, we thought we'd do a bit in the UK and, tip around a little bit, but it's kind of, things have changed, but it's pretty good, there's nothing to complain about, really. It's fun. It's a weird one to describe, I don't think you can describe it too easy, but it's been amazing so far.
Yeah, you must see your mates when you go back home and you tell them stuff and they're like, oh, right. It's like, what?
Yeah. I try not to do that.
Yeah. How much of the press do you read?
No, none of it really. Just a little bit here and there. If I see a tweet or something like that, I'll have a look at it. But there's no point.
Yeah.
I don't really read the back pages for the sport, and that's about it.
Yeah. Right, Niall, stay there. We'll play the record and we'll chat after your number one single, Drag Me Down, on Radio 1. Wait there, all right?
Cool, thanks.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills Daily. Nobody can drag me down. Nobody, nobody. Nobody can drag me down. Nobody, nobody. Nobody can drag me down. Nobody, nobody.
It's their biggest song yet. One Direction, the UK's official number one, Drag Me Down. It's 8:22. And Niall's with me on Radio 1. We were saying the other day that you're a massive sports fan, and you've met most of your sporting heroes now, I think.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky to be put in situations like that, so it's pretty cool, yeah.
If you want to be a caddy for Rory McIlroy, you can, and you have. If you want to drive in a Formula One car with Lewis Hamilton, you can.
I was giving him a ring.
If you fancy a kickabout at the Bernabeu Stadium, yeah, you can do that. Is there one dream thing in the world of sport that you'd love to do but you've not been able to do yet?
Oh, a good question. That I'd love to do another charity football game or something like that, and then get all the Ronaldos and the Messis of the world and stick them all in one pitch. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
but apart from that, I've been lucky enough to meet a few people, which is always good, because I don't know what it is, right? We meet people who do the same thing as us, and you don't really get starstruck or anything like that. But I always find it, and this, everyone says this, I always find it like with sports people, footballers especially, you get like proper like butterflies in your stomach when you meet some of these guys.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So like, do you get more excited about meeting Ronaldo then you would get excited about meeting Beyonce?
I haven't met Beyonce, so that's pretty good. Yeah, I'd like to meet Beyonce.
You've not met Beyonce?
She's got that kind of a majestic look about her, so I think I would like to meet her. I probably would get starstruck, but yeah.
I really thought that would have happened by now.
No, I think we've been in the same building a couple of times, like at the Brits and stuff like that. But I don't know, we've never met or no.
Okay, now I've got a few quickfire questions, because I've not spoken to you for a while, just to finish off before you head off. Honest answers, please, all right?
Yep.
You've known me for 5 years. It's all fine. Here we go. While being in the band, have you ever taken a sickie because you couldn't be bothered one day?
No, actually.
Ever?
That's a really good question. No, I actually haven't. I've thought about it a couple of times. But not for like a gig or something like that. Maybe for a photo shoot.
So you have for a photo shoot. Yeah. This is good. Ever thrown a showbiz diva strop? And what was it?
A showbiz diva strop.
Have you ever asked to be carried anywhere?
Oh, no, of course not. Scotty, that's a stupid question. You shouldn't be asking questions like that. You know exactly what I'm like.
To be fair, you are like proper down to earth, so that's, but okay. But not even like, get me a coffee immediately.
Scotty, no. You're still trying it.
Oh, yeah.
You know I'm not like that.
Ever taken a nude selfie in the mirror?
Oh, no, that is cringe.
So you know that would, even if it's just on your phone, you know that somehow that would get out.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely don't have the body for nude selfies anyway.
Do you have a painting of yourself in your house?
No, I've got like a couple of cool photos of us and stuff like that, but I don't have any paintings of myself, no.
Ever worn a disguise so you could go somewhere?
No, because if you get caught wearing a disguise, you just look like a bigger idiot than you did before.
Yeah, like if you've got the nose and glasses on, you look stupid, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
While in One Direction, have you ever been refused access anywhere?
Yeah, of course.
Where?
Go up to, like you know, nightclub doors or bar doors. And
what, even while in the band?
Yeah, you know, everyone knows who we are.
Okay.
There's people there. So I don't mind. It's nice, it's humbling.
Quite refreshing.
Yeah, I like it.
And finally, the last time you had to queue for something?
Everything. Anything in the shop. I got a coffee yesterday.
Yeah.
Queue for that. Queue for everything.
Okay. So you're still the same boy?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are.
Trying my best.
Do you know, we were saying the other day, you're the only person in One Direction that hasn't kind of really messed around with their hair?
Messed around with their hair? Yeah, because I've got a round head. And I've got a lot of hair.
Yeah, but it's the...
So I don't really know what hairstyle suits that, so I just stick with what I know.
You've not done anything radically different, and the others really have. And because of that, I think that you're going to be the last one to go bald.
Yeah, I've got a good, strong side. You know, both sides of my family still have their hair.
Because all the others are messing around with it. Who do you think is going to be the first to go bald in One Direction?
Oh, good question. No one's really receding yet.
Are they not?
Doing all right. No, can't really tell about Harry, can you?
Well, the thing is, that could... I mean, there's a lot of hair there. It's a mane, but that could just literally go overnight like that. Boom, he gets to 30 and it's like off.
Jeez, that's scary.
Can you...
No, like,
imagine bald Harry.
Well,
Think about it. And also, who would be the best-looking old One Direction member, do you think? Who's going to last the longest in terms of looks?
I reckon I look the youngest for a long time.
Yeah, I reckon you will.
So I still look... 12 now.
Yeah. You're gonna be 45 and look the same with exactly the same hair.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold on to my youth at 45 with the highlights in my hair. And...
Yeah, that's right. Listen, it's good to have a catch up. I've not spoken to you for ages, so thank you.
Yes, good to speak to you too. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Niall.
See you, Scotty.
See you soon. The Scott Mills Daily. Hello, Helena on text. Who says only one of One Direction can get away with calling Mills Scotty. It's true, I just let it slip. That's Years and Years and Shine on the Radio and Breakfast Show with Scott Mills. Now I'm getting literally hundreds of tweets of people that have mocked up what Harry would look like bald and what Niall would look like bald. And actually, Niall does have the better head for it, cos round, as he just said. Thank you, Niall, for coming on today. Good chats. Okay, 9 o'clock. It's going to be back-to-back music on the summer mix. I've just looked through. Amazing tunes today. That's in half an hour. And at 8:40, something new we're trying out. Instant Dragon's Den. It's 10 minutes away. If you've got an idea or an invention that you think could get investment for the Dragons, why wait for ages to go on the TV show? I can connect you direct to Deborah Meaden's house and then you do your pitch. The Scott Mills Daily. Really enjoying Dragon's Den, this series. Especially the new dragons, actually. I think they've added something.
Are you liking them?
Yeah, I am liking them. It takes you a while to get used to them, but when you are, you're like, you're fully on board.
Mm.
So Dragon's Den, BBC Two, 8 p.m. Sunday nights. Deborah Meaden was a feisty dragon last night.
If this offer isn't good enough for you, I'm not interested.
I'm scared of her when she speaks like that.
I've not seen her like she was last night. Very angry.
Not for a while, anyway.
Mm.
And then you tweeted her going, I don't like seeing you angry. And then she's like, well, don't make me angry then. Oof. Imagine this. Imagine actually being there in person when this happens.
If this offer isn't good enough for you, I'm not interested.
So is this idea a good idea that we're about to do?
Probably not. To be honest, because, well, she's obviously in a bit of a mood at the moment. But here's our new idea, Instant Dragon's Den. What about if you could cut out all the hassle of going on the TV show, applying, getting accepted, going to the studio, going up in that lift, seeing the dragons, then waiting like a year for it to go on TV, because it takes ages. What about if I could connect you to an actual dragon today and you pitch your idea? I love it. It's a great idea. Do you not think?
Yes. I mean, you are connecting people to her house phone.
Yes, I have managed to acquire Deborah Meaden's house phone. So Instant Dragon's Den means you can speak to her right now and pitch that idea. Just pitch away. Good morning, Lee.
Morning.
Where are you?
Sat in a van.
In a van where?
Just at Knutsford Services on the M6.
Oh, that's one of my favourites, actually. In beautiful Cheshire.
Correct.
You say all the services are your favourite. I think you're lying.
No, there's some
Knutsford is not your favourite.
It's not one. I said it's one of my favourites.
Hmm. Is it, though?
Yeah, it's got posh people in, because Cheshire.
No Fleet, though.
It's not as good as Fleet, and it's definitely not as good as Beaconsfield. Anyway, Lee, in your kind of third best service station in the UK, are you ready to be connected to Deborah Meaden?
Let's give it a go.
Now, I warn you, I am connecting you straight through to her phone at home. She might find that a bit weird, but this is your one chance, OK, to do full-on Dragon's Den sell to her.
Let's go.
You think you've got a good idea?
I've got the best idea.
Do you think you might get a backing from Meaden?
Millions.
OK.
This is good.
OK, right, I'm calling Deborah Meaden right now. When she picks up, speak.
OK.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Hello?
Hello, is that Deborah?
Speaking.
Deborah, I've got the most amazing idea for you. Do you want to hear it?
How did you get my number?
My friend Scott.
Right.
Are you ready?
Okay, go on.
Okay, so this idea, this is going to change the lives of millions of people across the UK. I'm literally going to reinvent one of the nation's most used machines around the house. Okay, so we're talking about a snack making machine. Now, this snack's loved by men, women, and children right across the land. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Talking about cheese on toast.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's been invented, but what's different about yours?
It's the way that you make cheese on toast. Cheese on toast, it's a simple snack, but it's an arduous task. You've got to preheat the grill, you've got to line the grill pan with foil, you've got to toast one side of the bread, you've got to take it out, put the cheese on, put it back under the grill. I'm going to eradicate all that. I present to you the cheese on toaster.
Right.
Okay. So essentially, it's very similar to your standard toaster, but if you visualise your standard toaster and flip it on its side, you put a layer of Pyrex glass or something to catch the drips of cheese. You lay your cheese on top of the bread. You put your cheese in the cheese on toaster. It's all done in one motion.
So does this look anything at all like the cheese on toast maker that is out there at the moment?
There is no cheese on toast maker.
Well, isn't what's that one that you put your bread and then your cheese and then your bread and then you pull the lid down and it seals it and makes lovely cheese on toast? Which one's that?
That's a sandwich toaster. This is a cheese on toaster.
This is one slice of bread with cheese on top.
There's no lid on top. Exactly.
Okay. How much is this going to cost?
Well, I reckon about £30, Deborah.
Did you just pluck that number out of the air?
No, I've done some sums.
Have you done any research, though?
I've done lots of research.
So when you say you've done some sums, so these sums actually relate to you knowing how much it costs to make one of these? Or were they just adding up sums?
Just adding up sums.
Yeah, just that was just adding up numbers, wasn't it? And coming up with the number 30.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. And how hard do you think people really think it is to make cheese on toast?
Well, it's not necessarily how hard it is. It's the risk involved as well. You know, when you're removing the toast from the grill, you've got two potential opportunities to be burning yourself here. You've got one when you pick up the hot steaming bread that you've got to turn over. Secondly, there's a wire grill rack that you could potentially burn your fingers on. We're taking away all that.
So your USP on this is that it's health and safety-wise, it's much safer than using a toaster or a grill.
It's much safer and it's much quicker. You know, it's half the time. You've got one process here of popping the cheese on, placing the bread in. It's all done in one motion. You've not got to take it out and turn it over and place the cheese on and put it back under the grill.
Can I just ask how long you've thought about this?
Oh, years. I've been wanting this for a long time.
Is your everyday life quite busy?
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Do you talk to other people? Has anybody else asked you or even suggested it might be a good idea?
I've mentioned it to one or two, and yeah, they all seem keen.
When you say you mentioned it?
Yeah, you know, in pub conversations. And on the note of pubs, this is perfect. When you come back from the pub, you may have had four or five pints, want a quick snack.
Yeah, I have to say, it's a pretty... do you know, it's a shame, because this is your kind of one opportunity to really, really impress me, and I'm afraid you haven't, so I'm out.
Oh, that's no good.
Hello?
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, that didn't go so good, did it?
No, not really, no. How do you feel?
Deflated.
Mm. She's good at that. That's why she's there to troubleshoot, you know? She obviously didn't think it was good enough.
What did you think, Scott?
I mean, I trust the media, and you see, whatever she says goes. And there are holes in this cheese on toast.
Mate, I think you're a genius.
I am a genius, Chris.
But, you know, some people don't value genius.
Exactly.
She gave you quite a long time on the phone, considering she didn't know why you were calling her.
That's true.
Thanks very much, Lee. I'm sorry it didn't work out. Maybe next time.
Next time, definitely.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Got any inventions that you wanted me to pass by Deborah? You can do it yourself, actually. Text me, 81199.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Those are Monday's best bits. Come and join us tomorrow morning when you wake up, 6:30 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Tomorrow at 8:10, we're joined by Amy Schumer.